Hi guys, welcome again to the Raj Call podcast. And this time I've probably got one of my favorite guests and me. I've been listening to his music and his journey as a listener and also inspiration as a musician. So I'm going to introduce the man, the myth, the legend, Mukhtar Soltan. How you doing, bro?
Hi Raj, how are you?
I'm fine, very good, thanks. Very good. So how you been? I haven't seen you on the scene for ages. I think, well, what a privilege.
Yeah, just busy with family life and obviously, you know, music work as I've been doing for the last, seems like a whole century of working in the music industry.
Absolutely. So,
I
wanted to touch base on that, on your music work actually recently, because a few years back, I listened to probably just maybe after, was it after lockdown, before lockdown, you released Reshma's song, very famous song. What just slipped my mind now because I'm on the podcast.
Yeah,
you did a version with Sunidhi Chauhan and Sona Nigam in there.
All right, yeah, the Chori Chori song, yeah.
Yeah, Chori Chori, that's it, yeah. Chori Chori, the middle, and that song. I actually love that. You know what I loved about that? The key change in the middle.
Right, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the key change in the middle wasn't really planned. That was the producers wanted to add, because Sona Nigam had sang it, and then Sunidhi had done a version of it. But obviously, you know, the female and the male scale, because they're doing it separately. It wasn't planned as a duet. So what happened was the producers were saying that it would be nice if we can bring them together. And I says, well, you could only do that if you're going to put a key change.
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't too cracky on the idea of doing that, but it kind of worked out.
I actually loved it. As I said, I love the way the keys just sort of it flipped. As well, it was perfectly blended. Yeah, yeah. I think the way you did that, so it was great. And I've been listening to that. I showed all my cousins and stuff that song, and we actually, because that's one of our favorite songs, a legendary song in it. So you did justice to it. It's too fair.
No, thank you. Yeah, thank you. I mean, it was. I mean, working with people like Sunidhi and Sona Nigam is you know, a massive privilege for myself.
Absolutely, yeah. I think it's a privilege for them. That's just me, my personally. me personally,
you're too kind.
Yeah. So that was just my introduction. Just my that was my fanboy moment, basically.
Right, okay.
Because I'm still listening to your music. Anything, something comes out. As much as, because I've got social media there, aren't it? So if you don't hear it on social media, it's not recommended on Spotify, you sort of lose track of what's going on.
So, yeah, of course. I think that's what the music industry has become. It's so fast moving now. And I mean, sometimes I come across songs that, you know, and I'm thinking, wow, this is a great track. How comes I haven't heard that? And it's when you start looking into it and you think, oh, that was released a year ago, 2 years ago. And you think you kind of miss so many great projects and great songs.
Absolutely,
and stuff. And some artists that you haven't heard of. And you think, wow, you know, where have these guys been?
I mean, like an example of that, I released a track called Saar, which is like a R&B drum and bass sort of vibe track. And initially, it picked up very slowly. And I think, and a year later, it just sort of boom, bang. It just started being played in India and all sorts. So, you know.
Yeah, of course. And that is the positive side to music in this age that we live in. You know, I mean, like, for instance, I did a song called Jarka with the Wadali brothers and Wadali. And all of a sudden, in this sort of last 6 months or 8 months, it's just gone crazy. Everybody's sharing it on Reels and on the social network and stuff. And it's just gone mad, and you just never know when a track that you've done, you know, it could be 10 years or 20 years down the line. You just never know when music's gonna people are gonna pick up on it and start sort of playing it again. So, you know, that's the great thing about music.
Is that the one you did about 10 years ago?
Possibly longer. I think that was in 2007.
Yeah, it was one of my favorite albums. I love that album. Honestly, it was such a good album because
Thank you.
It had the sort of the Sufi Punjab, but then it had that had the Mukhtar sort of touch to it, so it was like great. Yeah, it was fantastic.
See, with that project, when I was working with Lokwinder Vidali, we were in Canada at the time while we were doing that project. And, you know, I try to get the best out of what he's good at. It's like when I work with any artist, it's always about what their strengths are. You know, because sometimes certain artists will come in and they'll say, I mean, like even with Lokwinder Vidali, he was like, do you think the album's going a bit too Sufi? It's going a bit too sort of classical. I says, look, that's where you come from. Those are your strengths, and we should be, highlighting your strengths and stuff. And he was a little bit unsure about it, but you know, the album did extremely well. You know, a lot of people appreciated it. A lot of musicians around the world and people in the music industry, you know, really appreciated that album.
I think that album sort of made him brought recognition worldwide to him. Before, he was a bit local artist. That definitely made him globally, like a global brand.
Yeah, so, of course, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it kind of broke him out to the international market.
Yeah, definitely. So anyway, let's start the podcast properly. So tell me a bit about your background. I'm assuming you're from Wolves.
Yeah, Wolverhampton, yeah.
Good I'm from Handsworth originally. I'm from Handsworth.
All right, okay. We're not too far.
Yeah. So tell me a bit about your background, about your childhood and how you got into music in the first place.
Yeah, music was, it was in the family. I mean, even before I was born, my dad used to play with the band, used to sing, play the harmonium and the Dolak Tabla. So we had instruments knocking around the house, and it was just one of them. It was like a natural thing. It was like second nature to us guys, just to pick an instrument up and start playing it, just by watching, just by learning the way my dad used to perform and play his instruments and stuff. So we, you know, it's all self-taught, really. We never had any teaching, and my dad never sat down with me and said, look, this is how you play a keyboard, or this is how you play, you know, a certain instrument. So it was a natural thing for all of us guys. I mean, you know, in the band.
Mm-hmm. So how did you, like, when you say naturally, like, I'm really interested in, like, sort of a like I'm learning guitar, like, when I have time, because I've got two baby daughters now, so you're a parent, so you probably know the time you get.
Of course, it's very limited.
Exactly, yeah. So you get 5 minutes here and there and here and there. So was there a methodology you used at that time to learn, or was it just, I don't know, you just picked up and have fun?
Yeah, so picking up instruments, it was a natural thing for us. It was more about having fun, and to be able to see if we can actually play the instruments and stuff. So it started off, you know, like a very fun thing. And then as we got older, you know, we started taking it a little bit more seriously, and we used to talk about, you know, maybe forming a band in the future, you know, that, you know, we could all play certain instruments and stuff. So, you know, that was our dream while we were growing up. And it was only until we, towards the end of school, when we started playing as an actual band.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the head of music teacher, he was like really, really intrigued in all this sort of Indian instruments and whatnot. And he kind of really encouraged us and put us into competitions and stuff. And
is that school?
That was at school, yeah. So, wow. I mean, we did extremely well, even back in them days. You know, we got to play certain competitions. We did so well. We got to perform at Royal Albert Hall through the school's proms event that they have every year. And we got the outstanding performance award at the proms as well. So, you know, it was like a dream come true for us, because we've always wanted to sort of get into the music industry, and we looked up to so many bands like Alap and Hida and Brim Me during that time. And basically this is where it all kicked off from.
Just out of interest, how did you, like, sort of, did, just out of my curiosity, so you got all your brothers, how did you know, which did you just land at a certain instrument, or did one person decide, Neymar Abayona, or did it just
Yeah.
happen?
Yeah, it just happened naturally, really. I mean, like I kind of levitated more towards the bajra at that time, and keyboards and piano and stuff. So I was more interested in that. Raj, who's a tabla player, he was playing tabla from a very young age, and he started playing with my dad's band, and so he was already playing the tabla. And Serge, through sort of religious congregations, he used to sing a little bit at religious events. So it was already kind of a band in the making, if you look at it in that respect. And then when we left school, that's when we decided to, pursue it as a career. And then the other brother joined in, and it was just a natural progression, really. Everybody kind of certain instruments they wanted to play, and that's how it took off.
How did you come up with your sound? Like at that time, the Sahota sound, which is signature. Even today, I've never. You have sort of there's imitations out there, but it's. I've never seen that sound matched by anyone. Like that's
Yeah.
just my personal opinion. I've never that Sahota sound was for me. It's one of the best, and it's evergreen. You can put it in now, put Hasoge in now, and it's just I can't explain it. It's just a it's like magic.
Yeah, I think the best way to explain it is it's like everybody has a personality. It's like you know that's our personality that comes through the music. I mean, like I was a music producer, so it's just something that I enjoyed producing and playing, and certain influences that interested me. I think that comes through your music, and it was never a conscious decision that this is going to be our style. It was never planned. It was just, like I says, there's so many different personalities come together, and a sound can be created, if you know what I mean. And I think it's very important to have that, like as a band or as a solo artist, to have your own sound, because the thing is, a lot of people kind of listen to what's happening in the market, and they think, oh, this is what the audience wants, and they try to imitate that. And then what happens is you're not really creating yourself a sound for yourself. What you're doing is you're just copying what's already out there. And to me, I think that you're kind of killing your career in some respect, because it's the longevity of that. You're shortening that, because you're just jumping on the bandwagon, and you're just doing what everybody else is doing. And the guys who are still surviving today are the ones who have their own style, who've always kind of, stuck to what they've been doing, and they have their own signature sound.
So back in reference to the sound, did you mix it yourself, or was it mixed by an external body, or?
No, it was always it was mixed. It was mixed by Purdy Bogle, who was our sound engineer. That was the Sahota's, all the Sahota's material. We had him to mix, all the songs and during the whole recording process. But myself and Serge, the lead singer, we always knew how we wanted to sound. So we was always guiding the sound engineer as to how we wanted it to sound, because we've already kind of done the pre-production before going into the studio. So it was very important that we kind of captured what we had envisioned.
Because like the tabla and stuff was, as I said, I'm like fanboying again here, but
Yeah.
just stuff like the tabla sound on there, I've never ever to this day,
Yeah.
I've never heard that sound, the way the tabla stands out, the way certain
Yeah.
elements of your music stood out. So
Yeah.
it's absolutely fascinating, and yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's purely down to sticking to your own style. There's a certain, I mean, like certain musicians have certain ways of playing certain instruments, and you can kind of pick up on that straight away when there's a certain musician playing on a certain song. You can kind of pick up that, all right, that must be so and so who's playing that or whatnot. Yeah, and like I said, I think it's really important to have your, you know, your individual sound, and that's what carries you forward, because it's like he says, you only need to hear like a couple of bars into a Sahotas track, and you know straight away it's a Sahotas track.
Yeah,
goosebumps. You know, and yeah, and I think that's really important in music that you do have your
absolutely. And I want to reference one of my earlier podcasts. I was interviewing Shin, and he said the same thing about your music. Is he goes, as soon as you hear a Sahotas piece, that's it.
Yeah,
Shin DCS saying he's awesome as ours. Right. So he was telling me, he goes, as soon as I hear a Sahotas track, that's it, goosebumps. Yeah. So like that as well. So was everything played in or like, obviously times have changed now. Not much is, I don't know about your experience because you've worked in Bollywood and stuff, but here, like, there's a lot of bedroom producers and not everything's played in, everything sampled. But originally, was everything played in for yourselves or?
I remember those days. I mean, I couldn't do it now, I don't think. Yeah, but originally in them days, it was like I'd have to memorize every little single piece, right from, you know, from the beginning to the end, the bass line, all the chords, all the lead parts, everything would have to be sort of rehearsed before we go to the recording studio. And then, I mean, I would spend pretty much most part of the day just recording and dubbing each instrument one at a time in the recording studio, and then then get the electronic drum kit out and then play that on top. And it was just it was a crazy time, but it was enjoyable as well, because as much as I enjoyed that, I don't think I would like to go back to doing that, because my memory isn't as good as it used to be. I think back now, how did I remember all the little pieces and all the little percussion parts and everything, to record, to go into a recording studio and record a whole album, and it's all in your head.
So it was all done sort of simultaneously, sort of that the album was
it was. I mean, like, we'd go in, myself, Serge, and Rod, we'd go into the recording booth, and we would kind of put a guide track down for the song, and then I would go in and start, dubbing all the pieces in, all the separate parts, the chords and the drums and everything, and then Serge would come in and do his final vocal.
Let me just rephrase that for the audience. Software were you using that time?
No, I'm talking the very early days. There was no software. We were recording straight onto 2-inch tape.
2-inch tape, okay.
Yeah. So there was no computers involved in it at all.
Wow. So that was all.
It was all live. It was all live recording.
Wow. Phenomenal. Okay, so how did you from the Sahotas, how did you transition to Mukhtar Sahota yourself? I remember I don't know whether that was your first solo album, the one with Master Slim in there, Feroz Khan.
It wasn't Master Slim in there.
I'm getting mistaken there. I know Feroz Khan was it.
It was Feroz Khan Lember's. That was Lember Hussainpuri's debut release. And there was a few other artists in there as well. That was my debut sort of solo project. That was when sort of the band was kind of, we were in talks about sort of having a bit of a break from the band, because we were doing it, like, I think it was probably 10, 12 years at that point. And, there's talks about maybe sort of having a break and whatnot. And I thought, I love producing, and I just wanted to carry on producing and putting material out there. So that's how the solo project really came about.
And was it, how did you think about approaching was it done by the label or approaching the musicians you wanted on the album and the feel of each song?
Yeah, that was pretty much through the record label. They obviously had certain recorded vocals, like Lemba Hussein Puri. There was quite a few tracks that he had recorded here, and so there was a selection of songs that I kind of handpicked, and I thought, well, these are the type of tracks that I'd like to work on, and that's how the first album came about.
And what about this? Because there were some songs that were quite different to the Soholta sound. It's almost like you established your, oh yeah, I mean, you still had it. I can't remember the name. It's so long ago. Oh, you probably know better than me. I can't remember each track now. It's that long ago. But how did you sort of, because you transitioned certain songs, they became your sound basically. Like later on, you had Jogi with Arif Lahar and Zolna.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah,
see, the thing was, I mean, I didn't want to go from Soholtas and take what I did with the Soholtas and just carry that on. You know, it's like reinventing yourself again. I mean, there's always going to be elements of my music that still reflect back to the Soholtas, because that's my style, like I explained earlier. But I wanted to, you know, experiment with new ways of producing, new sounds, and new collaborations, and all that kind of stuff. And then especially when you're working with different artists and different singers, the music has always got to sort of complement the artists that you're working with as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that brings on a bit of a change to the way you produce and the way you kind of interact with the artists. So it was a conscious decision as well that I wanted to sort of, there was stuff that wouldn't have suited, say, the Soholtas material, but it would suit another artist. There were so many ideas that I wanted to play with, and I got to do that through my solo projects.
That's amazing. And just going back to the Soholtas, I can't remember which shows you guys were on at that time, because I know you were on Top of the Pops, because you did the English album as well. Was that yourself produced that? Was it yourself produced that? Was it out? Was it called Out of Reach? The back of my
yeah, there's Out of Reach. The album was called The Right Time.
Yeah. So how did that come about?
It was a whole craze of sort of like, because Bhangra was really taking off, and you know, people in the mainstream were kind of starting to sort of listen to what was going on in this Bhangra scene. So a lot of bands and a lot of artists were starting to cross over, and the labels were really sort of encouraging us to, you know, being like UK born and probably the youngest band in the UK at the time. They were really kind of pushing us, saying, look, you know, you guys, if anybody can do it, it's you guys that can kind of cross over. So that's how that project came about. I mean, we did, like you said, Out of Reach. Then we recorded a whole album of English songs. I mean, it wasn't as successful as we would have liked it to be. But and at the end of the day, I think it was kind of a bit of premature, really, for Asian music to cross over at that time. I don't think they were kind of ready for that whole sort of sound. Is a bit of a culture shock.
What's really interesting is because, like, people, because of the era we're in social media and stuff, so people don't realize that the UK Bhangra has already hit these milestones that people are talking about now, like crossing over, doing these crossover albums, being on mainstream TV. You guys were on the Apna Sangeet, you know, they were all on, was it Generation Game? I can't remember the shows now. Blue Peter, was it you guys on Blue Peter?
Yeah, we were on Blue Peter and Surprise Surprise, and quite a few shows during that time. Yeah, we were performing on quite a few of these shows, and you know, it's great because we kind of grow up watching all these shows and stuff, and then you're performing on these programs. It was a great experience.
Because, as I said, that's to me, that's massive. They were the prime time shows of that day, and you guys were on it. And we talk about, like, you know, this, and I don't mean this in a disrespectful way. I you know, everyone's achieved what they've achieved now. People have crossed over, they've gone big, but the UK was doing it thanks to people like yourself and yourselves and that. So it's pretty amazing. How did that come about? Was it through your management or?
That was through the record label. I think like their researchers, like Blue Peter, Surprise, Surprise. I mean, Surprise, Surprise was one of them where they wanted to surprise the guy was fanatic of he was like a big, huge Soeharto's fan, and he wanted to play with the band. He played at the Dorluck, and so they got in touch with us, and that's how Surprise, Surprise came about. I mean, Blue Peter, they'd heard our music and stuff, and there was a segment that they were doing on sort of Asian music, so that's how that came about. I mean, it was fantastic during that time because it was like, wow, Blue Peter and Surprise, Surprise, these are like mainstream,
Exactly.
peak time shows.
Yeah. And okay, so back to sorry, I'm digressing because I keep going back and forth. Back to so yourself as an art as a solo artist. Which album was next, if I can remember properly after
Yeah,
that?
after Time Out, I did For the Music. And that was when I did the Jokki track,
Yeah.
Rangkala, and songs
Yeah.
like that. Yeah,
Again,
so
that was a
that.
massive change. You went like sort of heavy metal sort of vibe, and it was fantastic. Even that was even that I felt was well ahead of its time because I think that music's just it's not even sort of it fit in today basically. That was well enough. Yeah. How did that come about, that one?
Yes, which the Jokki track,
Doogie.
See, I mean, I've always been into heavy metal music, even back in the day. I mean, I kind of wanted to bring it in with the Soeharto stuff, but it like I said, it has to suit the
Yes.
band, you have to suit the singer. So you can't just throw heavy metal with anything. Definitely has to suit the vocalist. So when I came across the Jokki song, it was one instantly I thought, this is my opportunity to kind of bring that kind of sound in, and to add them top of grunge guitars on there and whatnot. But it wasn't kind of full on heavy metal, because I don't think that kind of sound would really work
No.
with Bhangra music or Punjabi music for that. So it was kind of still kept it kind of commercial. And I think a lot of people kind of enjoyed the fact that it was different and there was nothing else really in the market. And that's what it's about. I mean, I've always wanted to do stuff that hasn't been done before and try and introduce something new.
Yeah, you're like me, sort of. I think the same way as you do. We should always be evolving music and not just sort of following a trend.
Of
Just
course, of
okay,
course.
yeah. So see how you can bring in different elements like that. And I don't think, to be fair, I don't think anyone's ever done it again properly. I got not on top of my head. They may have, but not at that level. I think it was pretty
I
phenomenal.
don't I haven't really I mean, Bollywood, I've heard a lot of sort of
Yeah.
guitar stuff and whatnot, but not in Bhangra music. I don't think a lot of
Yeah.
people
So.
have. Maybe, like I said, some producers or artists don't want to kind of experiment too much because, for the fact that he doesn't do well or he doesn't take off and be a wasted kind of project. But I think you have to kind of do them things. I mean, it's not like, everything has been done in music. There's nothing that you can kind of, magically create. It's something totally different. There's stuff that's already been done, but I think it's how you kind of fuse that with the stuff that you're doing or with Punjabi music. Try and bring certain elements in from different genres, to make it interesting. And I think it's great for the audience as well, that there's a variety of stuff that people have to listen to.
Absolutely, and it's sort of your production, and along with my other favorite was Swami.
Right.
Diamond,
Okay. Yeah.
Diamond Dougal. So you guys,
Yeah, he's a great producer. Yeah.
yeah, he's a great guy as well, to be fair. Like, I'll tell you a story about him. When I was getting back into music, like recently, a few years back, I was getting into sync licensing. So he took out half an hour of his time on the phone call, without any sort of anything in return. He goes, "Raj,
Yeah.
he talked me through it inside out,
Right.
told me
Yeah.
every little thing." And that's the kind of guys. That's why you guys are where you are, because of your
Yeah.
that attitude as
Yeah.
well to help other people.
It's passionate. You can hear the passion in certain musicians and producers and singers, who love talking about the art and helping people out and explaining, so you don't make the same kind of mistakes that we have, going through what we've been through. So, and I think that's really helpful for the future generation as well.
No, it's absolutely amazing. As I said, I've got the same vibe from yourself as I got from Diamond.
Right, okay.
Yeah, great guy. He's a great guy, to be fair. Yeah, so we talked about Bollywood. How did you transition into Bollywood?
People that I've worked with, like Ayer Rahman and Salim Suleiman, having links with these type of people that I've got noticed, and people have listened to my music, and certain production houses have been in touch with us and says, "Look, we like what you've done here, we like that kind of flavor on one of our songs and stuff." So that's how I've kind of got into producing songs and composing songs for movies.
So any exciting projects you got that you want to let us know about Bollywood
Yeah.
or otherwise or your own
Yeah,
album?
there's a few movie projects that I'm kind of in the process of sort of completing at the moment, and so as soon as that's done, it's gone a little. It's I've kind of taken a bit of a step back from it because I want to start getting back into sort of like releasing singles and maybe getting into some album work as well, purely for the reason. Because I mean, it's great doing all that kind of stuff, the movie stuff. It kind of restricts you in a little in a way, because you kind of dictate it to almost to a certain level.
Yeah, pretty much.
You kind of produce a track, you have full artistic control, but then with movies, you have to kind of follow the script, and you have to there has to be a certain way of producing a song, and it has to fit with the film and all that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of that going back and forwards, where I prefer kind of sort of having full artistic control right from the beginning to the end, and be able to do what I want to do. So so there's loads of projects. I mean, there's loads of singles lined up. And there's some kind of album work I'm kind of sort of in talks with at the moment as well, because I want to kind of get back into maybe
Brilliant.
producing an album, and because I enjoy really working on an album, because it's like a bit of a journey for me. When you start the tracks, you have different kind of elements and different styles I want to play with, and kind of tell a bit of a story with an album. So there's a lot of material coming out. It's just when that I can't give you.
I can't wait. I can't wait. That's amazing. So I won't keep you too long now. I normally finish off the podcast with the whole purpose of the podcast is my pursuit of musical excellence. So what advice would you give me and any listeners who are pursuing musical excellence
Right, okay.
want to get better and
Yeah, so do you sing, or do
I sing,
you?
yeah, I mainly sing.
Right.
I sing sort of classical.
That's your main, you not
My
not as a
main thing is
musician.
classical. Yeah, I do touch of production, but I with the door, I don't. My main emphasis every day is practicing vocals,
Right,
getting
okay.
down, put out, do my runs with
Yeah, yeah.
vocals, dana, and well, you know what I mean, yeah.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you're in such a good a position in the times that we are today, as in you've got YouTube and you've got so much there's so many videos that are out there, and you can get so much wealth of knowledge from just watching certain videos and tutorials and stuff, which we didn't have back in the day. So we would have to listen to the legends and all the material that was out during the time, and just listen to, by just listening to them and copying what they were doing just to learn the art. So I think you can learn a hell of a lot just by listening to your favorite artist, for instance. If there's certain artists that you like, just by listening to them, trying to do what they're doing, so that you can understand how they've got there, is the most important part of teaching yourself. If that's the kind of avenue
That's
you want to
that's
go
amazing.
down.
Yeah, I want to just recollect a story that Tubbsy told me. Tubbsy Dolkiwala. Tubbsy, he told me a story about Raj, your brother Raj Soto, that he I think he learnt by and this I think it was VCR times then, by half speeding of a the BPM of a video and learning tabla that way. So I don't know how true that is, but that's what he told me, and I find that absolutely fascinating.
Of course, So, when if you've got the passion to learn, that's a great starting point if you have that passion to learn. Because a lot of people come into this business and they think, yeah, I want to do this, I want to do that. But then the fire kind of dies down really quickly because it's not as easy as certain people think it is. So, the first point, like I says, is you do have that passion, is a great starting point. The rest is, like I says, it's everything's out there today. You can just, pick up your phone, you can kind of do a search. If there's anything you want to learn, pretty much you will kind of come across it, and somebody's kind of teaching it. So I think that's a great place to start. But it's like I says, it's about creating your own sound. That's
Absolutely, yeah.
ultimately that should be your goal.
Yeah.
That I have my own sound, not that you sound like X, Y, and Z, because you just get lost in all that, with all the other artists and the other musicians and stuff. So having your own sound, I think, is really important.
What I find, like, in terms of exactly what you're saying, in terms of practicing, what I found, especially with a busy schedule, that's a struggle I have, because with kids and stuff, and I ended up and work and stuff. I work full time as well, is actually having a dedicated schedule for myself. Not everyone does it this way. I have, like, no matter what happens, a minimum hour I have to practice. That's my schedule. That's the only way I get stuff done. Otherwise,
Of course.
otherwise you get distracted by life, and that's like, it's almost like your people have their religious time aside. That's time, isn't it?
Of
I set
course.
aside and put that
I think
and
that's very important. Yeah, it's really important to take that time out. We were lucky because we were young. We spent all our time, instead of sort of out on the streets, just doing what kids do. We didn't really do that. We spent that time learning instruments and learning the art. And you have to have that time that you dedicate to learning, whatever instruments you want to play, if it's it or you want to sing. You have to dedicate that time because it'll pay off in the long run once you've done that sort of hard work.
That's absolutely fantastic. I won't take too much of your time. I know we had half an hour. I think we're on 40 minutes. I can carry on, as you probably realize. I can talk forever. So, especially with one with yourself, because I, as I said, I love learning off people like yourself and people who've been there, done it,
Yeah, of
in the
course.
future. So thank you so much for your time.
That's been a pleasure.
And if there's anything else you want to say to the audience, and before we go, any last messages or.
Just keep an eye out on my social network, social media, for my forthcoming releases. And I hope you enjoy what I've done, and I hope you enjoy what I'm about to put out in the future.
Thank you so much. That was the legend himself, Mukhtar Sahota. I'm not normally sort of nervous on these, but I don't know why. Just I was just slightly nervous, and he's smiling at the moment. But anyway, this is one of the biggest ones I've done, and massive thanks to Mukhtar Sahota. Please leave a review, drop a comment, and if you've seen this on one of the shorts, please drop a comment on there and share. And also follow Mukhtar on his socials. Do you want to give those shout out what they are?
It's all the same. It's forward slash Mukhtasar. So all my handles are the same.
Fantastic. And please leave a review for us as well on iTunes or Spotify. So thank you so much. And until we meet again for the next guest, God bless you all. Thanks.